couple weeks ago, I started out talking out of Nehemiah. I want to continue with that. And we shared out of Nehemiah chapter 1, how that Nehemiah, having gotten word of how bad things were in Jerusalem, the walls were torn down, the gates were torn off, he was moved in his heart to do something about it. And he ended up going to the king. The king, having looked at him, recognized something's on his heart, something's on his mind. He doesn't look well. And Nehemiah explained why he was looking the way he was looking. And then the king said, well, what would you have me to do for you? That's, I'm paraphrasing it. And the scripture says that when that question was posed to him, as a matter of fact, let me find that real quick. It says that give me 1 second here. I'm in Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah 2, I'm sorry, Nehemiah 2. In Nehemiah 2, he comes before the king. Verse 4, it says, then the king said to me, what would you request? What would you request? It says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor. I want to go back to, he says, what would you request? So I prayed to God of heaven, and I asked the question, if it please the king, if your servant has found favor before you. And then he went on to make his request. The topic of the message 2 weeks ago was, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. What is stirring right now in your world? What's going on in your world that God is stirring your heart and you're the answer? And it may be one of those things that fits in the prophetic word that Pastor Deborah read from the sister that gave that word. I never would have thought. But where you find yourself right now is rightly positioned exactly where God has intended for you to be the answer for something he wants to do. Can you listen to me? Listen to me, Eric. I need you to hear me clearly, because while we came here, I'm talking about this location with specific thoughts in mind, I believe God was rightly positioning us for what ultimately he had in mind. But I also want to tell you this. There had to be a change and there had to be a shift in mindset, in stewardship. How do you go from stewarding 8,500 square feet, which is where we were for 15 years, to coming in a setting where you endeavor to steward 67,000 square feet? And I believe in that. I'll just say this for me. I know that God was working in me the capacity to steward something greater than I could ever imagine. Because in a matter of weeks, we will move from 67,000 square feet to 140,000 square feet. Come on, I need somebody to act like you're excited, because I'm trying to help us understand what this season is about. Kiva, for your business, what God's about to do. You've done some great things, but you haven't seen what God's about to do, okay? Your name is about to be known abroad in ways that have never been. You're going to get some calls from some folk who said, I've seen your work, and I want to do. They're not going to recognize that in that work is the power of God, the grace of God, the favor of God. And you're going to be able to touch their lives, and you're going to be able to speak some things in those quiet moments of getting them beautified and getting them in a certain place to help them to know it's not the outer beauty that really matters. It's on the inside. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Nehemiah identified with those that were in need while yet he was in the house of the king. And sometimes life can move us in a way, in a good place, that we forget where he brought us from. And every now and then it's good to identify with that so that he can use you to help those who may be yet in the place where you were some time ago. Because how many of you know, once you've gotten out and maybe even figured it out, you can help others out. And so our message was, here I am, send me. And very quickly, these are the points that I gave in that first message. Nehemiah was sovereignly positioned. Say, sovereignly positioned. And I said this, you must see the moment in order to seize the moment. Often as a result of prayer, God will create an opportunity, open a door for you to walk through, allowing you to be used in ways you did not imagine. But you must see it and you must discern it. Secondly, favor. Favor is often available but rarely manifested and drawn upon until a specific moment when one has the courage to act or ask. For years, I have talked about and I've said I've had the favor of God on my life, all my life, but I didn't always steward it well. But I've learned how to steward it well. And I've learned to have courage to ask. I've learned to have courage to ask, and I've learned to have courage to act. Courage, the attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. I want to submit to some of you today, your life is where it is, and it may not be where you thought it would be or where God wants it to be. And part of it may be just simply because you've never taken the courage to act. The attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. And in a moment, I'm going to talk to you about Nehemiah lessons and perseverance. Because some of the things that weigh in the balance have to do with you committing to persevere, to stay with it, to stay connected, not to run, not to back off, not to dumb it down, not to scale it down. The other thing that we see with Nehemiah is the authority. Authority is given based on the role, the task of an assignment to be fulfilled. The greater the assignment, the greater level of authority that is given. Responsibility. Responsibility can often be measured by one's level of authority. At the same time, those proven to be responsible and mature will often be given greater responsibility. Access. Come on, say access. I'm prophesying and saying to you, this is the season of doors opening and access like you have never, ever imagined. Access. God will open doors and provide the access that is needed to walk out the assignment, the purpose, the destiny. Come on, say access. Lastly, we're recapping here, provision. God will supply, provide provision in order to fulfill a task. He always provides provision for you to take possession. From provision to possession. From provision to possession. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Nehemiah lessons in perseverance. Lessons in perseverance. Say perseverance. Let me read a few scriptures before I move back to Nehemiah and make these points for you. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 11 through 15, listen, this is what it says. This is about the parable of the sower. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not receive, believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while. Say a while. Come on, stay with me. They believe for a while. And in the time of temptation, fall away. In the time of persecution, they fall away. The seed which fell on among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard it. And as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast. Now look at this. And bear fruit with perseverance. And bear fruit with perseverance. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we extol in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also extol in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then lastly, Romans 15, 1 through 6. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times, listen to this, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, say perseverance. Say it again, perseverance. It's in Nehemiah and chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. This is what it says. Then it came to the governors and to the provinces beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of an army and horsemen. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Let me read a couple more passages to give you some context of where I'm going with this. Nehemiah chapter 2, going to 17 now. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and the gates are burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. Now I want you to notice that he is saying, even though he doesn't live there, he's saying so that we will no longer be a reproach. He is identifying with the need. He is identifying with the devastation of the situation. I told them how the hand of God had been favorably on me, and also about the word, the king's word, which was given to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So we put our hands to do the good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Ammonite, and Geshem, now I want you to notice also here, now there's an escalation. First it was just Sanballat and Tobiah. Now it's Geshem. It says, when they heard of it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing they are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and I said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 through 3. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. So, Nehemiah, lessons in perseverance. Nehemiah has everything he needs to do the job. You have everything you need to do the job. Now, you may not have it right now in your possession. You may not be able to see it. But everything you need to accomplish what God has purposed to do in you and through you, you have it. It's somewhere. Come on, say, I have it. It's somewhere. Nehemiah had the courage to ask. Nehemiah had the courage to ask. Everything that Nehemiah had done up to that point, he was in a process of training of how to lead, how to build. We used to sing a song a long time ago. Go to F. Just give me an F. God is preparing his people for their greatest hour, and we will arise in his, and the greatness of his power. Here's the key. Know the tests that you face and the storms that you're in are only to make you strong. For we are in training for reigning with Christ. We are the heirs of salvation and joint heirs with. We change it to firstborn son because we're sons now too. Lifting the sword of the Spirit. The enemy's now on the run. So we must not give up and we sure won't give in. We know that we've already won. For we are in training for reigning. Yeah, yeah. Training for reigning. Training for reigning with Christ. Training, 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 training. Now, here's one of the things I need you to get, though, right now. You don't want to spend all your life in training. You don't want to spend all your life in school. You don't want to spend all your life in the classroom. There comes a point when you need to graduate, and you need to know you graduated. You can't graduate and try to go back to class with the next group of people. The instructor, the professor will say, what are you doing here? You've already graduated. You've got your diploma. You've got your degree. You've got your credentials. You've got your paperwork. Now, get out there and make something happen. That's where you want to arrive. Now, Nehemiah wasn't real clear. He didn't go into this thinking, I'm going to rise up and do something great. But Nehemiah had proven himself to be faithful. He had proven himself to be faithful. But here's one of the dynamics. I want to give you these very quickly, these dynamics of when you say yes. And their lessons in perseverance. Number one, Nehemiah was faced with opposition from the moment it became public knowledge of his plan to rebuild the walls. The moment it became public, the opposition kicked in. And so it's one of the things that you and I have to know in lessons of perseverance, and that is the moment your purpose, destiny, assignment becomes public, very often the opposition, the resistance is going to show up. You remember when we talked about David, that when David was anointed king, it says, when the Philistines heard that he was king, they rose up against him. When you look in the scriptures and you look in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus had come up out of the wilderness, he went to the temple. He read from the scroll out of Isaiah, a familiar passage of scripture that we often look at. Isaiah, I believe it's 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And Jesus reads his job description. He tells them what he's come to do. And everybody heard it. But the moment they heard it, all hell broke loose. Matter of fact, by the end of the chapter, they were trying to throw him off a cliff. They were trying to kill him. It says he just walked right on through the crowd and went on about his business. You have to just be aware that opposition is going to be there. But when you've recognized that you've been in training for reigning, you've had some hits, you've taken some cuts, you've taken some bruises, you've had some ups, and you've had some downs, but you're still up. You're ready for the assignment. Hey, yeah. I don't know about you, but every now and then there's a new movie out, boxing movie, Creed. I don't know, is that movie out yet? Okay. Oh, I knew you would know, Tuesday. Okay. Just joking with you. Coming out Tuesday. But y'all remember those Rocky series, and you remember how when Rocky started out and then went on to the next one, until the Rocky where Apollo Creed dies from the Russian. Okay. And then Rocky, now he's going to train to beat the Russian. The one that's coming out now is kind of like the rematch of that, only it's the sons that are going to be boxing. But one of the things you see in that movie is that the Russian is training with all the great technology. Well, Rocky doesn't have that. He's broke, really. He's lived a good life. He's had his money, but he's broke now. But he trains and decides to go up into the mountains somewhere. And you see this comparison of the guy, the Russian, in his training camp with all the technology, and he's working out, and you see Rocky running up mountains and carrying tree stumps and all those kind of things to build himself. Now the question is, will that be as effective as what's happening over here? And what I want to say to you is, if you can recognize that everything in your life has been training you to come into a place of reigning, you're probably more ready than you think you are. But you need the confidence, you need the buildup to know that you really are who God has called you to be, and you really can do what He's called you to do. But the moment you say that, the moment it becomes public knowledge, you have to be ready for the opposition that's going to come. You got to be ready for the opposition that's going to come. There are certain things that have happened in your life that hit your life. You made it on the other side of that. It built character into you. It built strength into you. It built some spiritual muscles for you. It causes you to be able to walk resolute in some ways that others cannot yet. Because you recognize you're in training for reigning. It's what this season is about. It's about reigning. 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 It's about victory. It's about walking as an overcomer. It's about being in that place of victory. It's about reigning. So what did Nehemiah have in his DNA that allowed him to be able to stand that way? Well, at the end of chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, and I was the king's cupbearer. You know what he's saying? I live in danger every day. I live in danger every day. Nehemiah was being trained in that environment. He had an incredible prayer ministry. He had a discipline of prayer that was unmatched. Let me tell you how I think that came about. Just like, remember with David, when David was going against Goliath, and he said, look, I wasn't trained like the rest of you guys, but let me tell you what, I got trained out there in the field. I got trained out in the field. A lion came through, tried to take one of the little lambs. I ran after him. Got the lamb back, killed the lion. Next thing I know, a bear tried to do the same thing. I ran after him too. And David has the revelation, I've just simply been in training for reigning. Nehemiah answers the call. Immediately he's faced with opposition. But it's not like he didn't have to live every day dealing with the danger that this may be my last day. Because before the king tastes that, I got to taste it. Before he drinks that, I got to drink it. Before he eats that, I got to eat it. I believe he had one of the most powerful prayer ministries over food you could ever imagine. Y'all know how we pray these simple prayers. Lord, just bless our food in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, he went in. Etopo tende se kete ya. Membro sandare beze. Yoshete te kundra basa. Okay. I ain't going out like that, and neither is my king. I believe he prayed every time, whether the king did or not. King, you good. I took care of it. If there was anything in it, when I prayed, it's gone. If there was something in it and it didn't go away, I wouldn't be here serving you. You good. Nehemiah was faced with the opposition from the moment it became public, but he had been through a process that allowed him to persevere. You all have heard of Chuck Yeager. How many of y'all heard of Chuck Yeager? Some of y'all. Let me see you again, hands again. How many of y'all know who Chuck Yeager is? Treva, who's Chuck Yeager? No. You said a prophet? No. Pilot. Maybe he was a prophet too, though. We just didn't know it. Okay. Chuck Yeager. Chuck Yeager is the man who broke the sound barrier. Oh, yeah. Who said that? Tracy up there. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. What is incredible is how he could do it. Because others had tried. Others had tried, but they didn't have the stamina nor the perseverance. Now, you know what made the difference? Chuck Yeager was a fighter pilot before he became a test pilot. He had been shot down more than once and survived it. So here's a man who's already survived death, already stared death in the face. The challenge with breaking the sound barrier is when anyone else tried it, once they got up to that Mach 1 point, the aircraft was shaking so violently. Now listen to me. Because there are moments in our lives in the midst of pursuing that things will shake violently in order to get you to back off the throttle, get you to just pull it back in. For every one of those pilots before Chuck Yeager, when it's begin to feel like the plane was about to disintegrate in the air, they backed up off of it until Chuck Yeager showed up. And when he did it, when it reached that place of violent shaking, he persevered and pressed his way right on through it. And how many of you know all it takes is one? All it takes is one. I'll be the one. I'll be the one. I don't know about you. I'm saying that for me. I'll be the one. I'll be the one to take the hits. I'll be the one who has to deal with the storms. I'll be the one that has to deal with the nation. I'll be the one. All it takes is one. Cindy, all it takes is one. He broke the sound barrier. And when he did, others got in their planes and said, if he can do it, we can do it too. If he can do it, we can do it too. If he has done it, I'm talking about Jesus now. If he has done it, we can do it too. You can do it too. this place of perseverance. Nehemiah had to accept that some who should have been helping him were resisting him. Even those who would benefit from the restoration of the walls. And so you just have to know that not everyone will get on board. But you can't let that stop you. Nehemiah was wise enough that when he got there, he didn't just tell everybody what the plan was. It says he went out by night and took a few guys with him, but didn't tell them anything. And he went and spied it all out himself. And only once he knew clearly what God was saying and had the strategy, he came back and said, "Thus saith the Lord." There's wisdom in that, because not everybody can handle the information. Nehemiah had to motivate the people to keep them encouraged. I'm talking about lessons in perseverance. He had to motivate the people and keep them encouraged. Because how many of you know that you can plan and you can begin to work the plan, but when things start to happen, you have to make some adjustments. And sometimes when the plan doesn't happen in the time frame that you thought it was going to happen or the way that you thought it was going to happen, there's the need to help others stay engaged and stay encouraged in it. Nehemiah had a grace on his life to keep them engaged and to keep them encouraged. Nehemiah had to be aware of his enemies, but not be distracted by his enemies. He had to be aware of his enemies, but not be distracted by his enemies. And so it is with you and I. We must be aware of the things that are going on, but not be distracted by those things. As you begin to walk in the place of purpose and destiny, you begin to walk in the place that God has for you, you will have to make a conscious choice from time to time. As you become aware of things, do you need to address the thing? When you become aware of something, should you keep looking at that or look through it, look past it, or do you look at all? Because some things only come to be a distraction. And over and over and over, Nehemiah was met with one distraction after another. But the key for Nehemiah was this, and I'm going to end on this one. I had a total of 8, but I'm only going to give you these 5 right now. The last one. Nehemiah had a discipline of prayer that became his response of every attack of the enemy. Nehemiah had a discipline of prayer that became his response to every attack of the enemy. Our greatest weapon is prayer. Your greatest weapon is prayer. I said a moment ago, I believe Nehemiah had a prayer life because he couldn't serve in the place that he did and not be able to pray. And every time Sanballat and Tobiah rose up against him, every time, you read it. Read Nehemiah 1 through 6. Every time, he prayed. He reminded God of his faithfulness. He reminded God of his greatness. He reminded God of his word. Basically, he was saying, "God, you got me on this assignment. You deal with them. You deal with them." Right about the time, close to done, and they knew it, they tried to kill him. "Can you come down and meet with us?" But God kept exposing their plans. God kept exposing their plans. And finally, in Nehemiah 6, verse 15 and 16. Come on, team. It says this. So the wall was completed on the 25th day, 25th of the month of Elul, in 52 days. It says, when all of our enemies heard it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of God.
Amen, amen. Yes, God.
That's a good time to clap. Yeah.
Yes, God.
Say amen like you're in church. We didn't got so something in church. We don't know whether to clap amen or just... We are in training for reigning. But some of you, hear me, I'm going to say it again, but some of you, you've already got your degree. You've already got your degree. You've already got your papers. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. I want to pray over us and release us. Before I do that, let me ask this question. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I recognize certain things that will only get done once I commit to this level of perseverance? Let me see your hands if that's talking to you. Okay, that's good. You can put your hands down. Now hear me. God has released His grace for you and I to persevere like never before. A little earlier we sang, God, you have kept me, and He has. And He will. But now it's time to walk in this place. It's time to walk in this place.